Hello there. Welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and you'll never believe it, but I've got a chair reserved for you right here at my table. So come on and pull up the chair. Let's hang out for the next 30 minutes as this week we look at the Mass readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we are going to talk about the sacrament of marriage. And as you look at all of these readings put together by the church for this particular Sunday, I hope you'll agree with me in seeing that there is a clear message that comes forth from these meetings, a message that marriage is a sacrament. And for those of you who may be married and you realize it's not always that easy. It's not, I mean, and that's an understatement. When you take two people and you put them together and ask them to become one, and from that marriage, there are children produced, thrown into the mix as well. So now you have a whole family of people dealing with the problems of life, the challenges of life. There is obviously grace needed for that. Now, the incredible thing about marriage is it's a beautiful sacrament. As somebody who is married and has children, I think it's the most incredible blessing that I've ever experienced. And one of the great blessings that flows from the sacrament of marriage is the ability to become less selfish. I tend to be a selfish guy. I tend to like what I like. I like to be comfortable. And when you get married, it draws you out of yourself. Now, you know, I realize not everybody is married. You may be a widow or a widower. You may be single. The point here is not to say that one vocation is better than another, because it's not. We're all God's children. He has a plan for us. He plans to work with us if we cooperate with that. So whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you are maybe separated even, because, you know, that does happen. You could be widowed or any number of different circumstances. The point is not to say, well, you're not as good or your life is not as full because you're not married. Absolutely not. That is not the point, because that's also not true. The point is to really recognize the value of marriage, because you probably noticed this, but in our society, it's very much underappreciated and undervalued. And we need to really recognize that it is a sacrament. And there are great graces that flow from the sacrament of marriage, as is the case with each one of the sacraments. But this week, we are going to talk about marriage and how special it is. And I hope you'll really be able to enjoy this program and learn something from it, as I did when I was preparing. These are good readings, and it's very difficult to read. It's, you know, we'll start with the gospel, then we'll go through all of the readings for this Sunday. But it's very difficult to go through these readings and not appreciate the value of marriage, that it is a sacrament, that it was created by God, that we have no right to change the definition of marriage. You know, that's God made it. God created it. He makes the rules. You know, so we see, you know, don't get me started, but we see a tendency in, over the past several years in our country and really in the world, of this tendency or desire to change marriage, what it means. I mean, God created marriage. It's between one man and one woman. That's what He created. And we tend to, as a society anymore, it seems like we tend to mess around in areas where we got no business messing around. Marriage is one of them. So we're going to hear it right from the Bible today as we open up the scriptures and look at these Mass readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as always, if I haven't done so yet, I want to thank you for joining me on the show. It means a lot. I get excited when I get to spend these all too few minutes with you. You know, I start at the beginning of these programs and I look at the clock on my computer as I'm recording. And I think, well, I still got close to 30 minutes left. And before you know it, I'm down to the last few seconds. So the show does fly by. I enjoy it so much. And it's a real privilege to be able to share with you these few these readings, sit around the table to talk about them and to pray together. So with that in mind, let's pray together. Let's get this show kicked off in the right way and to make sure that I deliver the message that I believe God wants me to deliver. Let's ask for His help. So if you'll join me now, we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for first of all, the ability to be in your presence, Father. That would not be possible if you didn't create us. So we thank you for creating us. We thank you for giving us parents, because without our parents, we would not be here right now. So, Father, we thank you for our parents. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for adopting us as your sons and your daughters. We thank you, Father, for your willingness to walk with us, so much so that you sent Jesus, your Son, into the world to walk with us each day, to redeem us, to make himself accessible in all of the sacraments. Father, we thank you for all of the sacraments, especially for the sacrament of marriage, as we'll be discussing today. We ask, Father, for a greater appreciation of this sacrament. We ask for a willingness to really hear what you have to say in the scriptures today, and not to have biased opinions or not to reject any of your teachings as written in the scriptures. But we ask for open minds, open hearts, and a willingness to obey whatever it is that you tell us. I ask you to give me the words this day, Father, to give me the words so that I may be able to adequately deliver your message. And we pray for all marriages throughout the world. We pray for all marriages, especially those who are struggling right now. We pray for those who are lonely, who might be grieving the loss of a spouse. We pray for those who are single and searching for a spouse. We pray for a greater respect for the sacrament of marriage, especially among people who don't share our Catholic Christian point of view. Father, we ask these things, as we always do, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and it's an honor to be able to come to you each week for 30 minutes as we look at the particular week's Mass readings. This week, again, as I said at the start, we're doing the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as I always like to do from time to time, I like to frame this weekend and put it in its proper place in the liturgical or the church year. Now, there are 33 Sundays in the church year, the liturgical year. And then the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we got 34 weeks in total for Ordinary Time. This week, we are at the 27th week. So we're getting near the end. I don't want to jump ahead, but once this church year ends, we go into the next one, which is marked by the season of Advent. So we're not all that far away from the season of Advent. It's hard to believe. We are in October now. And man, I don't know where the time goes. It's incredible. But you know, the fact that we are here, the Lord has us here today for a reason, and I'm grateful that we are able to join together and talk about these readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. If you'd like to find out more about my work, including my new book, which we will be talking about soon, Find Peace in Advent. So if you're looking for an Advent daily devotional, you can purchase a copy now, Find Peace in Advent by yours truly, Gary Zimek. If you want to find more about my work, my books, my daily email reflection, just visit followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. to learn more. All right, let's get right to the readings now. I'm going to start, as I do each week, with the gospel. We'll kind of, you know, set it up. And as you know, you and I have talked about this before. Typically, when we look at the Sunday readings, when we start with the gospel, there are generally a number of different themes, a number of different, if you want to call them, departure points that we could really discuss. But when we marry the gospel up with the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and then throw in the second reading, I like to try to find that common theme, because during Ordinary Time, the gospel just proceeds sequentially. Right now, we are in Mark's gospel. And then the first reading and the responsorial psalm are chosen specifically by the church to match up with the gospel. So that's intentional. They were chosen specifically and generally to support a certain theme. Then the second reading, much like the gospel, goes sequentially. And what I like to try to do is find an element of the overall theme in the second reading as well. And, you know, because the Holy Spirit is in charge of Scripture, the Holy Spirit has inspired these writers to write these readings, I think it's entirely possible to do that. So I always try to do that and come up with one common thread that goes through each of the readings. All right, so let's look at the gospel now. It's Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 16. And this begins with a confrontation between Jesus and his adversaries, the Pharisees. These guys, this group of really devout Jews, maybe devout to a fault, if we could say that, they're always trying to trip Jesus up. They are so devout that they are adding on to God's law. It wasn't good enough for them, so they wanted to build it up. They were very much religious separatists. They did not welcome many people into their fold. They had a strict set of rules, regulations, and they often lost sight of the very basics of what it should mean to be a follower of God or a child of God. They lost sight of that. And they made life difficult for Jesus. Why? Because he was calling them out. He frequently would call them out for their hypocrisy, and he was getting in their way. They did not like that. So we see this. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. And I think it's really good that Mark adds that into the gospel, because if we look at it without that little commentary, we might think, well, this is a legitimate question. They're asking Jesus in all sincerity, is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? But Mark tells us they were doing this to test him. They're trying to trip him up. And Jesus said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her. But Jesus told them, because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Now, you know, there's a little bit more to the gospel, but I want to just pause it here for a minute and look at what Jesus said. "From the beginning of creation, God made them female and male. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now think about that for a minute. "The two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh." And this is a big deal. You know, we don't want to just look at marriage in a casual way. This is a sacrament. This institution, this sacrament was created by God. And in this sacrament, a man and a woman, very clear, a man and a woman, that's what the Bible says, are joined and become one flesh. And Jesus goes on to say, after establishing that radical point, that the two become one flesh, a man and a woman, one flesh, "Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate," period. And that's from Jesus. In the house, the disciples again question Jesus about this. You know, they're probably saying, "Wait, but come on, let's go over this again. You're saying no human being must separate the man and the woman who have been joined together, no divorce ever?" And then Jesus doubles down and says, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." You know, we can twist this, we can spin it, we can say what we want, but it's kind of hard to look at the words of Jesus and say, well, divorce, sometimes it's necessary. That's not what he's saying. And I might as well use this. I don't want to turn this into a lecture on marriage, because I'm not really qualified to do that. I don't think that's the intent of my show here. But sometimes the topic of an annulment will come up, and the question will be raised, well, is annulment just a Catholic divorce? And it's not, because a declaration of nullity issued by the church after an investigation into the circumstances declares that no valid marriage ever existed. When somebody receives an annulment from the church, after investigation, and, you know, we could get into this in a cynical way, saying that, well, the church is unfair with the investigation, or there's money involved. Why should I have to pay for this? Or, you know, there are a lot of different reasons to look at it. But again, I don't want to get into that today. Every human being on the face of the earth, including those who are in the hierarchy of the church, who work for the church, members of the clergy, religious, we're all imperfect. We all don't have it exactly right. But we trust that because the Holy Spirit works in the church, that the process somehow will deliver a good benefit. So when the declaration of nullity is issued, the church declares that no valid marriage ever existed. So there was no marriage. Not that a marriage existed and a divorce took place, even though we call it an annulment. No, an annulment says no marriage ever existed for whatever reason, number of different reasons, well beyond the scope of this program and the time that I have. But Jesus is basically saying a divorce. It is until death do us part. And with the exception of, and not really an exception, when an annulment is issued, it means no marriage ever existed. The marriage was invalid from the beginning. All right, now let's get back to sort of a side issue, if you will, but not really. So Jesus is establishing the permanency of marriage. And then people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. And I think it's nice. We could really do two separate themes from this gospel. But it's nice that one follows another, because Jesus first establishes the importance, the permanence of marriage, and then he talks about children and the beauty of children and how much Jesus loves the children. One of the main benefits in the eyes of the church from the sacrament of marriage is the gift of children. So again, we live in a society where so many people say, well, I want to be married, but I don't want children. That's selfish. I mean, and that's not the purpose of marriage. But again, we have gotten away, I think, as a society in general, of looking at marriage as the true sacrament, which it is. The main purpose of marriage is for the spouses, a husband and a wife, to help each other get to heaven and to procreate. To have children so that children flow from that marriage. And again, lots of redefinitions, lots of excuses, lots of people who want to redefine what marriage means or create something out of it that it was never intended to be. This is a union between a man and a woman, a permanent union, which is designed to produce children. It doesn't always. Some couples are infertile. They are unable to produce, biologically have children. It happens. That doesn't invalidate the marriage, but again, we could go into those details. But I think it's important to recognize that there is a permanence to marriage. It is a sacrament. There's lots of grace that comes from it, and that children are an incredible blessing, which are a result of a marriage between a man and a woman. First reading, Genesis chapter 2, all the way back to the beginning, verses 18 through 24. Oh, man, this is a great reading. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife. And the two of them become one flesh. Isn't that great? And you see, Jesus refers to this piece of scripture when he is basically defending marriage and the permanency of marriage to the Pharisees. So again, if we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be following God and his commands, and this is Old Testament stuff, this is, you know, handed down much earlier than when Jesus came. This is directly from God here to his people. Marriage is between a man and a woman. They become one flesh. Any redefinition really has no legitimacy in terms of our Christian faith. As people of God, and if you start to redefine marriage, you are basically, you're departing from the Bible. And since God created marriage, and this is, here it is in black and white, he has the right to define what it is. So don't buy into that. You know, I'm a little animated today, a little fired up, but sometimes I have to get this way. Don't buy into that theory that, well, marriage used to mean one thing and now it's changed. It's not changed. People want to change it, but it's an incredible sacrament and it's an incredibly beautiful gift from God. God created it. Only he can change it, and he's not going to do that. So there I go. I'm a little fiery today, aren't I? But this is important stuff. This is important. That's why I get excited. Psalm 128 is the responsorial psalm this week. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. Man, woman, children, marriage. You see it in this responsorial psalm. It's just so incredible that, you know, again, you may not be married, but I just want you to appreciate the beauty of this sacrament and the grace that flows from it. All right, let's look at the second reading now, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Brothers and sisters, he for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. I think one of the neat things about this second reading from the letter to the Hebrews is the reminder to us that Jesus did take on human flesh. He came into this world born of a mother, just like you and me. And there's a reminder here of the fact that there is suffering in this life. And one of the things, whether you're married or not, you're going to experience suffering in life. And I'll tell you what, as a guy who has been blessed to be married to an incredible woman, and blessed with the gift of two wonderful children. And I am absolutely saying that from the bottom of my heart. I mean that. They are incredible. They help me so much when I'm dealing with the struggles of life. So that's one of the beautiful things about family life. I've got people who help me. And this is the thing. Since marriage is a sacrament, we all, speaking for my family, my wife, myself, my daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, we all have grace that flows from that sacrament of marriage. And that grace helps us to help one another through the struggles of life and love one another even when we don't feel like it. And yeah, there are times that my family, we don't feel like loving one another. We might be mad at one another. We might be frustrated with one another. But love's not a feeling. Love is a decision. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. And it should be unconditional. Now, we all fall sometimes, and due to various circumstances, maybe I'm going to show my love a little less for somebody who annoyed me or who was mad at me or who I got mad at. But unconditional love means there is nothing that you can do to change my love for you. And love means putting the other person first. And the family is the perfect opportunity to practice unconditional love. So I am blessed, and maybe, hopefully you are too. You know what a good family life is all about, having a spouse, having children. But it's hard for two to become one. And it's difficult to sometimes live as a family. Amen? Right? So the grace received through the sacrament of marriage makes it easier. We need that grace. So a marriage that is not sacramental, meaning not blessed or recognized by the church, is not going to have that grace. So that kind of a marriage has a serious disadvantage. It's very difficult to try to live as a cohesive family in harmony, in love, without that grace. But see, Jesus realized this. And that's why he instituted the sacrament of matrimony, of marriage, to give those of us who are married the grace to love one another and to help one another to get to heaven. It's just an incredibly beautiful sacrament. So yes, it is permanent. It is between a man and a woman, and it cannot be dissolved in the eyes of God by man. So I hope I did the sacrament of marriage justice today. Again, I do get fired up about this because marriage is under attack around the world, in the United States, everywhere around the world. It's under attack because there's a lot of selfishness going on, you know? And as a guy who didn't get married till I was 35, I know what it's like to be selfish, and I still have that tendency to think of myself, but thanks be to God, I am married and have a family, which gives me an opportunity. I don't always succeed, but an opportunity to love others and not always seek my own self-satisfaction, if that makes sense. All right, here we go. Only a couple seconds left. You believe it? Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email. If you want to make a contribution to my ministry, I would really appreciate it. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. Have yourself a fantastic week. Thank you for listening. God willing, we'll do this again next week. Bye-bye.